Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, y'all. Happy, happy, happy. It's Thursday. Hope y'all are doing well. Staying away from the flu that's going around. It's quite nasty, but Dr. D's feeling a little bit better. Thanks for asking. Everyone around me is literally sanitizing their hands before and after they touch anything that I've touched, including producer Emmy putting on my headphones and taking them off for me because she wanted to use them and was afraid of me touching anything. So I'm basically in a quarantine. But that's all right because the mouth still works. You know what I mean? All right. We got an amazing show for you, jam-packed. We got Davey Wavy joining us. Y'all know him from YouTube. YouTube creator. He's also a porn producer. Has a studio called Hemros. Amazing because it really seeks to amplify and showcase diverse bodies. We're talking age, gender, race, penis size. I mean, he's really actively working to create something that can help kind of challenge some of the problematic norms. So we got him joining us to talk about what he's up to. We also got Damon Jacobs joining us to talk about male body hair shame. Yeah, it's something we got to talk more about. We talked a little bit about female body hair shame in January, which is coming up. Well, actually, no, it's here. This is January. Gosh, what month is it? Rep Ayanna Pressley. I'm a big fan of her. She came out. She's one of the few politicians that was willing to talk about decriminalizing sex work. She came out, I think it was today, revealing her bald head and talking about her alopecia. For those that aren't familiar with alopecia, it's an autoimmune disease and it leads to hair loss. For her, it's on her head and it started last fall. And she says, and I quote, "The reality is I'm black and I'm a black woman. And I'm a black woman in politics. Everything I do is political. So I'm trying to find my way here, and I do believe going public will help." It will. Thank you, Ayanna. That's very brave, especially because you're challenging beauty norms, especially for females, where boldness is definitely something that is not normalized as desirable in our culture. And we're really working towards honesty, truth, and authenticity. Virgie Tovar, who's on our Body Pause segment, she was talking the other day about how she will no longer use her camera to hide angles. She'll show her double chin. She'll show her cellulite. We're done with the photo editing. We're going real. We're going raw. That's what we're headed towards. Good news. HIV infections among gay and bi men has fallen by 71% in the UK. Hear that. 71%. That means we are moving towards eradication. Now, why? Prep. That is why there's the decline in new infections. New York City, they are beyond ahead of what their goals were with decreasing HIV infection rates. It's all about PrEP. I'm telling you, we've talked about it to nauseam. Daily pill prevents infection. Almost 100% effective. We're talking more about that. All right, coming up next, we got Davey Wavy joining us. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Tonight we're talking with Davey Wavy, YouTube creator and porn producer. How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. So congratulations on all your success. Been tracking it.
And Thank you.
Talk to me first. I have 1,000 questions about representation and diversity. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about your porn studio and what made you want to set it up.
Yeah, so I launched Hemros TV 2.5 years ago, and I think I had the experience that most gay men had, which is, you know, in a vacuum of not learning about gay sex from school or from my family or even from my friends, I turned to porn.
Right.
And so I was basically, you know, replicating what I was watching on SeanCody.com, which, you know, it's like two straight guys bumping their bodies together and doing that in my bedroom. It turns out, you know, SeanCody.com isn't great about teaching us about pleasure and connection and intimacy. So I decided to launch a studio that created really beautiful, explicit content, but that also benefited the audience that was watching it.
I love that because that's one of the things. Whenever I get asked about porn, it's always given the responsibility of being an educator, and that was never its initial intent, right? It was initially set up for arousal. It's a powerful form of media, but yeah, there's a lot of things that are left out, like you said, affection, romance, aftercare, things like that. So You know, one of the things that I thought was really fascinating I wanted to talk to you about was a quote of yours. I'm going to read your quote. I don't know where I pulled this from, but it was, sure. I have an honest responsibility to showcase the underrepresented voices of our community. Now, that's a big statement because a lot of people don't take any responsibility for what they're producing. So outside of your own experience with what you saw, what led to this level of integrity that you wanted to fold into what you're putting out there?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really like self-important, but the reality is if I'm producing porn content and you know, for me, the emphasis is really to connect guys with pleasure and to show them that like pleasure is our birthright and that everyone can do this. If I'm only depicting, you know, muscular, well-endowed, 24-year-old guys, like it's not going to get that message across to someone. You know, you can see an older guy or someone that's body differently looking at that and saying, well, it's easy for him to do that, but what about me? So we wanted people to see reflections of themselves when they went to the website. You know, it's not just this like altruistic philosophy that I have. But it's also something that I try to do with YouTube. You know, I have an audience on there, and I think that at the very least, there's an opportunity to engage the audience and to show a wider spectrum of our community than what typically gets represented in media.
Yeah, and it's so valuable because it's like you said, there's rare outlets outside of maybe our own limited sexual experiences and porn to see other naked bodies, right?
Right.
And so we're limited and we normalize what we see repeatedly, and it breaks my heart when I'm doing therapy or running a group or out lecturing and someone pulls me aside and they're saying, hey, I know I'm not supposed to, but I do compare myself to what I see in porn, and that's what the standard that I'm held to, even they're like, if I'm doing the work and I'm better than that, quote unquote. And so they're kind of like trapped in that. So I always am struggling to find resources to direct people where they can not only see themselves, but also maybe start to expand their own arousal templates so they can fold other types of bodies into what they see as hot.
Yeah, it almost becomes this like vicious cycle. And I think when I talk to other studios, they're like, well, you know, like this is what guys want to see. They want to see white, muscular, young guys. And my thought is, well, how can people be attracted to what they don't see?
Right.
maybe there would be a broader spectrum of attraction. And the crazy thing is, like, ironically for us, when we do include, you know, other people that maybe you don't typically see in porn, we get a tremendous response, both from our audience and media coverage. Our most popular model is 84 years old.
Oh, wow. That's like, beautiful. That's beautiful. Because ageism is so rampant culturally, but also, I have to imagine, more so in porn.
Totally. Yeah. Right. Like the shelf life in porn seems, you know, very low, but I think what we're doing is kind of presenting a different opportunity. And the reality is most of the people who are purchasing memberships for our site are not 18 years old. You know, it's guys in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, and so on. So for them to see someone like themselves engaging erotically, you know, being sexually ecstatic, it I think is really powerful.
Oh, sexually ecstatic. I like that word. Yeah. And going back to something you said earlier, yeah, our arousal is and our desire is plastic. And we do learn to expand that if we do encounter more diversity. Like I see that clinically all the time. And so, yeah, we really do start to train ourselves. And if we can encounter diversity, we will start to eroticize that. And so, yeah, I think I work with that on clients again, where, you know, the aging body of your partner, like we're all going to go through different shifts and our arousal has to kind of align with that. So another powerful quote, and it's kind of what you said about the producers, where whenever I've called out studios, that was their response. You know, we're a business and we have to make money. And so we're going to make money only off of what people seek. And I kind of like the idea that, you know, us, the consumer, has to take responsibility for the market that we're creating and sustaining. Yes.
Yeah, well, I think it works both ways because I think there's a lot of assumptions that happen with studios and what people want to see. I don't know if it's that the audience that I've curated with Himera's TV is just like particularly mindful or open to seeing more than, say, someone that buys a membership to like Bellamy.com. You know, that's probably a reality. But yeah, there also is an opportunity or a responsibility on the consumers to shape what it is that they're supporting. And that's, I mean, more so than anywhere else, that's what I encounter on YouTube. It becomes an issue, and it's something that I've talked about on the platform quite a bit.
Okay, that was really powerful, but we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're talking with Davey Wavy, YouTube creator and also porn producer and head of the studio Hemeros. So how do you go about choosing the performers you work with? One of the people you chose was actually my ex-fiance.
Yes.
Small world, huh?
It is a small world. Yeah, it's so exciting. So, you know, there's, I think, people that go into porn for different reasons. And it seems the majority of folks that I've chatted with it kind of fall into the category of doing it because they're like hard up for cash and, you know, this seems like an easy way to make money. But then there's another group that go into porn because almost as though they view their sexuality as a gift and something that they really want to share with the world and with an audience. And those are the folks that I'm more interested in working with.
Right.
And are going to be kind of more receptive to the content that we're creating, which, you know, is outside the box and is going to challenge people. So there's kind of an interview process. And when we film, we work with tantric instructors or sexologists or sex coaches, and those coaches are part of the interview process as well. And it's not just, you know, because we want to find people that can embody the content. It's also, if you're not able to be open and vulnerable on camera, like, it's not going to be a fun experience for the model either.
Oh, I love what you're saying, because I think, and again, this isn't ever to demonize or shame other people's work or what they're doing, but I love what you're saying, because I do agree that as a viewer, there's porn that can look very transactional, and there's a place for that. But then there is porn that actually, like you just said, has more of an intimate presence, and the performers seem like they're embodying the space they're in, and they want to be there, and they're enjoying their partners. And it's a very different experience to watch. And I want people
totally
to have a more embodied experience of the porn they're watching, because, you know, again, for some individuals, porn is their only sex life, either because they're currently single or they don't meet desirability standards to be highly dateable or, you know, have a lot of sex in the culture or whatever the reasoning is. And so, you know, we really do internalize the kinds of things that we're repeatedly turning to sexually. And so, you know, having porn that's more present and embodied and, as you said, ecstatic, I think is really, really, really important and awesome. So for you as a studio owner, where do you go next after this?
Well, I do want to say one of my favorite videos actually features your ex-partner.
Great.
Are we allowed to say his name?
Yes, we are. We can, yeah.
Okay, so Wesley Woods, really, really sweet guy. You have great taste.
Thank you.
He was in a video where he was seated in a chair, and his scene partner basically, you know, got down on his hands and knees, washed his feet, looked into Wesley's eyes, and for maybe a minute and a half just validated Wesley by saying, you know, you deserve love and affection. I think that you are a beautiful, wonderful human being. And really, from a place of authenticity, I mean, we do a whole retreat when we film, so it wasn't like he was just saying this stuff. It was heartfelt. And for a minute and a half, he validated his partner. He validated Wesley. And it moved Wesley to tears. And so you're watching this really beautiful scene between these two men, and one's crying. And part of you is like, okay, when have I ever seen someone cry?
Yeah, wow.
To be so vulnerable and open. But it was really, I mean, powerful, really powerful to watch that unfold.
Yeah. so much is coming up for me right now.
Well, and it's like we're more comfortable looking in the mirror and telling ourselves that we're pieces of crap than hearing someone look into our eyes and tell us how beautiful we are and how deserving we are. That was a really great scene. And I forgot your question because I get so caught.
No, it's okay, because I like where you just took us, because I think that provides a possibility for people. And that's one of the things I like about porn, is that it can provide possibilities or visions. And I like that someone could walk away from a scene like that saying, I want to feel like that. Either I want to create that for my partner at home, or I want to try to create a relationship where my partner would provide that for me. And so I like that it just elevates things. Like, I love that. I want people to walk away from all media that they view, and porn is just just another form of art and media. I want them to walk away from all of it feeling transformed at best, but at least having a different vision as to how things can be. That's stunning. And definitely Wes was never going to get his feet washed at my home, so that's good for him.
Yeah. Well, and I think in terms of media, porn is really powerful. You know, I've created YouTube content for a while,
right?
And you know, that has its place. But I always feel like I'm trying to dip the broccoli in chocolate. Like, you take a good message and you package it in a way that people want to consume it. I don't want to eat broccoli, but maybe if it's, you know, dipped in chocolate, I think it's a treat, and so I'll eat it and then get the good nutrients as a result. But porn, as it turns out, is really great chocolate. Like, it's a vehicle that is really easy to get. People want to watch it. It's fun to watch. It's exciting. It's titillating. But can you also kind of sneak a message into it so that when people are done watching it, you know, they've had a great time, but they're also going to look back and say, oh, I learned a thing or two. Or they'll bring something different to the sex that they're having.
Oh, beautiful, man. I love that. Where can people find you, and where can they find your studio?
Yeah, so it's himeros.tv. It's the word him and eros, so himeros.tv. And you can find me on YouTube. I'll just do a Google search for Davey Wavy.
Awesome. Thanks for being on Loveline. It was great to see you again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Nice chatting.
All right, be well. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. It's time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. And here we go. Hey, Dr. D, one of my New Year's goals is building community. Do you have any advice for this? I feel like a lot of people aren't interested in making new friends or don't have the time. It takes me a little bit to warm up to new people, and I'm trying to just be social. Yeah, this is a really beautiful one. I think community is really important. We talk a lot about that, especially for people that are of any kind of minority status. You really got to find people that can reflect back to you your value and worth and can speak to you about the things that are important to you. We talk about intersectionality where, you know, again, we have so many different social positions and identities in the world, and they all matter, and we can relate through one of them or more of them. And it's really important to have all of them at some point, I think, reflected back. And communities where we really find certain things normalized and depathologized. And so I'm always about that with individuals I work with. I think that we need to find people that reflect back the important parts of us, but again, the parts of us that are most oppressed. So building community really depends on what kind of community you're looking for. There's a lot of meetups, so I would start there. I think that's really great. There's also Facebook pages for those that aren't as able-bodied and able to maybe leave the house or maybe live in more rural areas. And that's why I love technology. There's so many different Facebook pages and Instagram pages, and people build true relationships on them. And I think that's really valuable. So not everything has to be real time. So know that, especially for people that struggle to warm up. You can start by building relationships online first and then trying to meet out in real time. Or you can go to different events that are meaningful to you. I personally love authors and philosophy. And so if I was in your situation, I'd be looking up different authors I like and seeing where they're speaking and going to different conventions and conferences. And those are hotspots, really concentrated places where people from all around the country and the world will be centralized around topics and ideas and concepts that are interesting to you. So just, I would say, make a list of all the things that's meaningful and interesting to you and find conferences and conventions around that. Join some Facebook pages, look for some meetups, and kind of take it from there. And I also think dating can help. You know, dating is a really great way to get out in the world with someone and also to possibly make friends with some of their friends and kind of build a community around that. So try some of those different entry points, but I think it's really valuable and important goal. So definitely focus on that. But no, it takes time. It's a numbers game. Right out the gate, you're not necessarily going to show up and connect with people, or it might take time. And so be willing to put that effort in. It could take months. It could take years, but it's meaningful. And I'd also finally say classes for those that can afford such a thing. Local colleges offer, you know, extended learning, weekend programs and things like that. And that's another way to kind of ground yourself in things that are interesting to you. And you can meet like-minded people that are, you know, doing the same thing. So focus on that. I think that's really good New Year focus for people if you're feeling kind of lonely. So that's a great way to build community, to make friends. And also for someone that might have limited time, That's why I think the online thing is really beautiful, because you can access it whenever you want to. And again, don't necessarily think that online relationships are somehow less real or less intimate than real time ones. That's why I don't like using the word real time. It's more online or offline. Because real time sounds like it's over legitimizing the face to face. And again, not everyone has access or ability to engage that. So Slide the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex of the world, and we want you to explore with confidence. For the DMs, go to our Loveline IG page. That's where they come from. Slide into the DMs there with your questions, or my IG at Dr. Donahue. I love hearing your questions, and that's where we pull all these from. And we are channelq.com for our show. It's always podcasted there, so go check it out. You can post, share, binge, listen, go back, check things out. We also post some of our articles there from the things we talk about. So check it out. Coming up next, we got Damon L. Jacobs joining us, and we're going to be talking about male body hair shame. Wait till you hear some of these stats. They were really, really, really heartbreaking. Something we definitely got to work to dismantle. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're talking with Damon Jacobs, fellow rebel, author, and therapist. How's it going, Damon?
It's wonderful. Rebel love, baby.
Oh my God, thanks for waking me up. It's been a rough week. I've been sick. Whatever's going around, I've had all week, so I'm struggling, but we're getting through.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, the flu. So I wanted to talk to you about something that came up a couple times in my DM. So on our Loveline page, every now and then we'll ask people, what are some of the topics that are really meaningful to them? And a couple males kept reaching out asking us to just talk about body hair. So I wanted to just share two stats that came out of two studies that I actually wasn't expecting. And it kind of really bummed me out. So one of them, a big study over in the UK, said that 60% of men remove their body hair. 55% said they were ashamed of it, their body hair, and 31% said that they would avoid things like swimming because of shame around their body hair. Yes, those are high numbers.
Wow, that is a very high number, and really speaks to what I call our collective brainwashing. And it's interesting to hear that coming from the UK, because I'm so much more familiar with the US and the culture here,
right,
which is instructing all people of all genders to automatically be ashamed of their beautiful, natural, naked bodies. That is so deeply inherent in the breath, in the oxygen of American culture. And that's no accident, as you know, of why people are told that from the day they're born, that they should look different than how they are.
Bam.
It is misogyny. It is capitalism. It is this idea that I can control you as long as I can direct your fears and shame to your own body. Then I don't have to worry about you actually taking a stand against the violation of your civil rights or your ability to serve in the military or your ability to love and marry, if I can make sure that what your focus is how horrible and disgusting your own natural, beautiful body is.
Yeah, and
it is so intricate,
and the amount of industries.
So
yeah, and the amount of industries that like just profit and profit and profit. And what's so fascinating is like the work sounds so simple. It's like just start to focus on being okay. Like when people talk about like new year, new me, I'm like, no, new year, I'm good as I am. Like, and I was talking the other night about a new, it was like a charity and a movement. We're familiar, some of us, with Movember, which was about testicular cancer, men growing a mustache. There's an influencer trying to start Januhairy for women to push back on that and just let their body hair grow in. But that's like a really radical thing, because that's still something that's going to get a lot of pushback, right? But we have to lead the charge somewhere. Yes?
Well, yes. And why is there always this notion, and why is this being replicated in the gay community, that you should be less than who you are?
Right.
Because that's always the common denominator, is a should. You should be younger. You should be less weight. You should have less body hair. It's always less, less, less. And that is not a coincidence, that you're always being told to be less than who you are. What if we rose against that? What if we resisted that? What if just we resisted that 5% of the time and spent a little more time saying, I am fully beautiful and sexy and gorgeous.
So let me tell you an anecdote. So I was in a relationship, I think this was like 4 or 5 years ago. And I would handle it a little differently now, but let's go with this for a second. And we were on the phone one day, and they said to me, "Hey, I'm really into like very, very, very trimmed, manicured people. Would you be down essentially to shave like your crotch hair, especially like testicle area shave?" And I said, no. I said, no, because I feel very body shamed in this moment. And number two, no, because I'm actually aroused by naturalness. Do you know the fight that brewed and we wound up breaking up?
See, for me, that wouldn't even be a fight. It's like, okay, if that's your thing, we're not a match.
That's right.
Because if you insist, I have on my one of my profiles, it's like, well, if you shave your pubes, we're probably not a match. That's just because that's what I like. I think the natural look is beautiful. I think the human body is beautiful. And if you want to diminish that, that's up to you. And I hope if you're doing it, you're not doing it from the shameful place that most people are doing it from. But if you're going to do that, that's your choice. It's your body. It's your choice. But we are not an erotic match if that's going to be your long-term choice.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's okay for us not to be a match. But
100%.
It's like,
and I think there's something really powerful in advocating for your partners to not necessarily have space to comment on your body. Like, I make that really known in early sexual and dating scenarios that I'm not interested in your thoughts about my body. If they're complimentary, I'm here for that always, 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 always. But if you have some negative thought, like, I don't need to know that and I don't want to know that. And that's like a fine line I've set immediately with everyone in my life. And I try to give that to people that, you know, you're allowed to set that standard, because we'll also talk about people that want to tell their partners that their weight gain is problematic. And like, that's another controversial topic that's tied to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how far can we go in sharing with a partner our thoughts on their bodies? So how do you tackle that with people?
I'd say that people have a right to have erotic preferences. And people have a right, you know, we to some degree we control that, to some degree we don't. But where I'd say it crosses the line is when people use shame and should and judgment to control or dominate another person's body or their mind or their heart or who they vote for. It's when you're trying to use that to diminish somebody that it's abusive, that it's gaslighting, and right. It can be problematic. I tell everybody I work with, what if everybody stood in the mirror completely naked and was able to say, damn, I look good. Damn, I'm hot. What would happen to American culture? What would happen to capitalism? I would lose my job as a therapist. I probably would get a lot less work.
But we'd all be so much happier.
Don't do too much of it because I love my work. But no, seriously, if everybody loved their bodies and everybody was happy, I'd be fine pouring coffee at Starbucks. I could do that.
It's amazing the forces that we're up against, though, right? Because when we see someone like Lizzo, who's like, you know what? I'm going to lead with my sexuality and my body. And like, I was actually really a little bummed out to see the wave of people that wouldn't allow this human being and people like her to just advocate for themselves, honor themselves. So it's like, I so 100% agree with you. And that's why me and you are like in that battle and we're pushing for that. But every now and then, like the Lizzo situation, it was a really heavy reminder of how, what we're up against.
And I think with Lizzo, what really occurred to me while all that was going down is, where in the world do people think they have a right to dictate a black woman's body?
Yeah.
And okay. It's the answer is in the question, because that's rooted in American history of slavery.
Right.
Is this idea that white people get to own black bodies and we get to own their minds and their sexuality. And I see that playing out in the media comments about Lizzo right now. It's really indicative of how we are so not far from our history of slavery in this country. She has a right to own her body. She has a right to celebrate her body. And, you know, the idea that anybody can comment or dictate or criticize that is so violent. And so, again, just such an insidious part of being an American, yeah. Not just today, but over the last 200 plus years.
Man, Damon Jacobs always taking us on a journey. That's why I love speaking with you. Where can people find you?
You can find me at DamonLJacobs.com. Don't forget the L because you'll go somewhere else, but DamonL Jacobs. Or if you're on Facebook, visit these discussions, because we're talking about sex and affirmative sexuality and HIV prevention and pleasure at PrepFacts, Rethinking HIV prevention and sex. We're there day and night. Again, PrEP Facts, F-A-C-T-S, rethinking HIV prevention and sex. 24/7.
And I can't speak highly enough about that page. It's phenomenal. All right, Damon Jacobs, thanks for joining us. Coming up next, doing a little couples therapy. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com. All right, we're back, and it is time for some couples therapy.
Couples therapy.
So, of course, we've got Rebecca Ashita, licensed therapist, with us. What's going on, Rebecca?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. It's the end of the week. I'm always so thankful.
Yes.
How has your clinical week been?
It's been good. Yes. I've taken a lot of naps this week.
Oh, wait, what does that mean?
I don't know. I've been tired.
Very nappy.
I've been a little exhausted. Yeah, a little tired this week.
I can't quite get myself to nap. I'm not a napper. I kind of just push through and then go to bed at night.
Yeah, I don't know. I need one every day.
I'm into it.
I'm going to be 50 the end of the
That's what happens.
Month. You get tired, nappy. You're old.
Yeah. Oh, make sure you send me the party invite.
Oh, okay.
We'll figure all that out.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into some clinical stuff. So, it's been an interesting clinical week. Let's talk about some things that have emerged from the clinical world, because I think it's really interesting. And some people, I was asking them on IG, I was like, what are some of the things you guys want to see more on Loveline? And
yeah.
They liked the clinical discussions.
Oh, good.
But some people wanted to hear also like some like case study kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I thought that was an interesting concept. So, you know, me and you are always very appropriate with maintaining complete client confidentiality. And so anytime me and you tell a story of a client, it's actually usually like a combination of a few different ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, very much pulled together.
And we don't identify anybody.
Correct. Or... Yeah. So what was really interesting the past couple of weeks is I am seeing a lot of people coming in because, you know, you get to, I mean, you get to really forecast and we'll see like waves of things coming in. And I'm getting a flood again of two things. One, people that are in long-term relationships and sexual desire has disappeared.
Mm.
And that's pretty standard
yeah.
for us. And then the second one is, and I'm so frustrated by this, and this is why I'm constantly trying to talk about this to nauseam. Men and women, it doesn't seem to be gendered. It's coming from all different perspectives, but struggling with the concept that penises don't always operate the way you want,
mm-hmm.
and that when they're a little disappointing and they're not working the way you want, you have to remember your penis is not a dildo. It's going to have variable functioning at times,
mm-hmm.
and that there's so many ways to be sexual with a partner that if your penis is disappointing you, it doesn't mean it's a disorder and we need to panic.
Right.
You have to get more creative.
Totally.
So is this coming in your office? Are you seeing this too? Or am I just the person that's like the penis man right now?
I'm trying to... I do see a lot of sexless relationships, so that oftentimes...
Which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And that's why...
So they're not really talking about the penises because the penis isn't involved.
Yeah, they're like, we wish the penis was disappointing.
Right. But that does come up. And I think what oftentimes happens quite often for partners is they will personalize it if the penis isn't working
right.
or the penis isn't, you know... functioning as they believe it should. And so they will personalize it and feel like it's about them and then they get wounded and
yes.
that they get really emotional versus like, oh, what else can we do? Or, you know, what have you. So that's part of the problem.
Yes. And I love that you actually brought that up because something was sitting in my mind and I was watching an interview of Jada Pinkett Smith. How I fell upon this, could not tell you.
Yeah, I don't know.
She was being interviewed somewhere. But she was saying something really profound that I think is related to this. And she was saying that her daughter Willow came to her and was sharing with her that she has been cutting. And Jada said, you know, and I think this is such a beautiful act of like self-control and good parenting. She said, you know, I realized in that moment, of course, a lot got triggered for me where I was thinking, how do I take care of my daughter? I felt overwhelmed. I felt stressed. And she said, I said to myself that in this moment, it's not about me. And I have to get my ego out of it, that my daughter needs me to be present right now with her and her experience. Keep my anxieties out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rush in to help. Don't get upset. Just stay there and say, tell me more. Like, I'm here to hear this. I want partners to be that way around some sexual issues as well, where if your partner's penis isn't functioning the way you want, don't make it about you. Don't turn over angry. Don't shame them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, why don't you love me? Be present
right,
to your partner's
right.
experience. It's not about you, right?
Right.
Because we're so accustomed to immediately going to like the impact it has on us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that, you know, an erect penis therefore equals desire.
That's right.
Right? That that must mean you're into me and that you want me. And if the penis isn't erect, that means you have no interest in me. You've lost interest in me. You don't want me anymore. I mean, I think that's a common place for people to go.
Yeah, and it's so much pressure on this one body part that has, like, every body part variable functioning. Like, I'll say this in my office. I'll say, listen, we're talking about the human body. The top singers in our culture are going to have times where they're not in tune, off pitch, having throat issues. Right. The top athletes will have times when their knees or elbows have given out or they're not focused enough on the field. Like, we'll give people accommodations around a lot of areas of human functioning, right? Sometimes your eyesight's not quite right. And you're like, oh, I'm not really seeing as clearly. What does that number say? But somehow, like with the penis, I see these penis owners like panicking where they're like, there's so much pressure on that I put on myself, my partner puts on it because of their levels of feeling desired, and also that real sex is always penetratively based, and if we didn't, something's wrong, and I'm like, oh my God, we got to get over this.
Right. I mean, that's what we've been taught. That's what we've definitely grown up with, you know, and then if penis isn't working properly, something must be wrong with you. You know, you need to go get help. You need to go get a penis pump. You need to, there's always this.
That's right. It makes me feel so bad because we're talking about sex. It's like we're talking about desserts. Like, it's supposed to be good and fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's not supposed to be that deep. Mm-hmm. And I use that example in my office this week where I said,
No pun intended.
I said this in my office this week. I was like, you know, if you're struggling with what's available in a bakery or whatever it is, you just walk out. And you're like, it's not that deep. Like, if I want something, I'll get something. If I don't, I don't. Like, it's not that deep. And we've just made sex laden with so many things. So,
oh, totally.
I guess the call to action to the listeners is just when you're struggling with any issues around that, like, right size it. It's not that deep. Let it go. Find other things to do, because applying more pressure and anxiety is not going to serve anyone.
Mm-hmm. Find ways to play and have fun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. Yeah.
But there's so many things that we're taught growing up about what sex means, desire, and how it's all also connected with emotional intimacy and connection, and if you're wanted, and it gets messy.
Yeah, it gets messy and it gets way too complicated.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, when we're going to take a break in a minute, but when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about this. Came into the DMs, not as a question, but as a topic. Someone asked me to talk about how to get back to feeling sexy or sexuality after pregnancy.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of want to hear your thoughts on that, or even more importantly, like your journey.
Definitely.
As someone who's had children.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back and it's Thursday night, so we're doing a little couples therapy. So, of course, we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Ishida with us. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Hola.
Yes, welcome back. I feel like we should be having tea sometimes as
we're
sitting here.
Yes, we should. That sounds good.
All right, we'll bring it.
All right, I like cardamom. I like cardamom tea.
I'm like, all right, bring it then.
Cardamom tea with coconut
milk? Sure, why not?
You could do that.
Hook it up.
Right?
Yeah, just put a little sweetener.
I still have to make you those vegan cookies. I was thinking about it today.
Chocolate brownie ones? Yo, your coffee brownies are banging.
Those are amazing.
Yeah, let's take a moment just to honor those.
But wait, you can't do those, right?
You make them vegan.
Right. Okay. You want me to do that?
Quite simple. All you got to do is do this.
Change the eggs.
Change the egg and the milk. The milk is simple. You go soy, you go almond, you do whatever you need to do. Almond's preferable.
There's no milk. Oh, there's butter.
Okay.
There's butter. I can't
do
that.
So here we go. So I forget the exact translation because I haven't baked in forever, but sometimes you can use applesauce or banana.
Right.
Because it also keeps it moist. It's a binder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look into this because that would be really good.
Thank you.
Maybe I could make some money doing that too.
I think you could. I'm not mad. I'll go in on it with you. I'm not mad against putting out there a plant-based. And also, people are ridiculous. So if we throw in some protein powder, people start to think it's a healthy thing. I swear. People think that anything that says high protein, they're like, oh, it's health. No, it's not at all. But you know what? We'll ride that wave. We'll ride people's naivety. If hey, y'all, look, one thing if you learn, if nothing else, you have to be responsible for your own health and you need to do the research, read between the lines. So be prepared to see Chris and Rebecca's vegan coffee brownies.
Okay.
Do you like how my name came first?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, let's get back to it. So before the break, I was telling you how a listener was saying, could you talk about sexuality and pregnancy? Mm-hmm. And I think the implication was around post-pregnancy, trying to just get back to sexuality, feeling good in your body, maybe even during. What was your experience of your sexuality while pregnant and after pregnant?
Well, while I was pregnant, I mean, I felt like sex was really good. When I started feeling like I was carrying a couple huge bowling balls, that made it a little more challenging. You know, you find, you know, different positions, what's comfortable. A lot of times you feel nauseous. So during pregnancy, depending on how you're doing in terms of your nausea, can often dictate how you feel sexually. So oftentimes in your last last trimester, I felt actually really, really good. And sex can also be really helpful, pre-labor, which is really nice. Afterwards is challenging. I mean, you have to, depending on whether you have your baby vaginally or cesarean, I had a vaginal birth with both my kids. You have to take a number of weeks to heal. A lot of times people tear, which is very normal.
But let me jump in.
Yeah.
Because yes, but I want to also hold space for the fact that we can be sexual without vaginal play.
Absolutely. Okay. Good. Right? Absolutely. That's a great point. I think I just get so focused on my vagina because of what it went through.
You're
that
very
I just
vaginally centric as a person anyway. So
is that right?
Our listeners need to know that. Vagina, okay. Vagina, vagina, vagina. I'm like, Rebecca, we get it. But wait a second. Let me ask you a question. So post-pregnancy, would that have felt better if your husband at the time had said, like, let's be intimate. It won't involve vaginal area play per se, but like I still miss cuddling with you, maybe breast play, maybe some oral on me.
Yeah. Well, oral on him was like, that was for sure, because, you know, I'm a team player. But what the thing that's really difficult is breast play. And I don't know if other women have experienced this, but your breasts become milk machines. And so I breastfed both my children. And so at that time, your body becomes functional in a totally different way. So my breasts were not sexual. They were, you know, milk machines. And then here was my husband at the time then touching them sexually. And it was weird. It was hard to make that transition often for me. Or to be sexual, again, was a difficult transition because this body was then, it housed a baby, it pushed the baby out. Now my boobs are for you know, them to suck on and feed them and keep them alive. And then you want to have sex with me? It was a hard transition.
Wow, that's powerful.
It can be really challenging to start to own your sexuality again, because it feels strange.
So it sounds like, so what I'm kind of hearing you say is you almost had to just expect it, hang in there through the journey.
Yes.
Know that it's a transition back to, and just be open to experiencing yourself that
way. Well, also because your body changes so much. And I know that, you know, for me personally, I didn't feel really comfortable with how I felt really like big and puffy and all these things that didn't feel comfortable for me in terms of being sexual. So that transition can be challenging too, on a personal level, you know. So it takes a little bit of time, and you have to start to kind of be able to move between those roles. Like, over here, my breasts are for milk, and over here, my breasts are for my, you know, sex and sexuality and fun. Like,
well, thank you. Thank you for that, because that was very normalizing, and it gives people an understanding of what to expect and not to panic.
Right.
And just
to
hang in there through the journey. Rebecca Sheeta, where can people find you?
On Instagram at HungryBecca. And my website, which is RebeccaIshida.com.
Beautiful. Coming up next, sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and Radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And now it's time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, do you think someone who is a virgin in their late 20s needs to tell a potential partner that they're a virgin before they have sex? Would not telling them prevent someone from being able to give informed consent? Wow, I've never heard someone tie informed consent to that. No, because informed consent is really about giving someone all the information about what they're going to encounter. And I appreciate that you're folding your virginity into something they might emotionally or psychologically encounter. But I actually file that more under boundaries and privacy, and that's your experience. And I don't believe another person encounters someone's virginity. I feel like we encounter our own and what that means to us. And so, no, I don't believe you need to share that to give your partner informed consent. consent. In fact, I think most people should maybe even withhold that. You know, again, for me, it's similar in some ways to someone asking how many people you've had sex with. And I think it's a very loaded question, and it doesn't necessarily inform anything or give you any information. And I don't trust people's maturity or sex positivity in order to be able to kind of manage such an answer. And so I tell people, you're allowed to have boundaries and privacy. And so you're allowed to say no to answering something like that. And I think the virginity thing falls under that. You know, people have to earn trust and earn their way into learning deeper, more important and triggering parts about us. And so you have a right to wait until that's happened. And I don't want assumptions being made, because the fact that you haven't had sex before doesn't necessarily speak to how you're going to show up and be with this person. Because in fact, we're virgin with every new partner we have. Sometimes even with the same partner. Who am I today? What am I going to be interested in now? And every time with a new partner, you have to figure out who you are with them, but also what's arousing to them, right? Everyone's body's different. The worst sexual partners are the ones that think they know what every gendered body enjoys, because you can't make assumptions like that. It just doesn't work like that. So I don't think you should hold such a concept. You haven't had sex yet. You will have sex. I don't know that you have to lead with that as though there's something to communicate. Because what is it you would feel like you're really communicating to them? Your anxiety, wanting them to reassure you that all will be well. I'd pull that out of that. I would say just be present in the moment, be present to the partner, enjoy yourself. Sex is about, you know, pleasure and intimacy building and fun, and let it be what it is. And if down the road this person is still in your life and you feel like there's trust that's built and you want to let them know deeper parts of yourself, you can fold that in and say, hey, that was my first time. But a lot of times people want to share that just as a way to get their anxiety off their chest. And for some people, that's helpful, you know, to say that, and they feel really strengthened by that. But just make sure that if you were to share it, you'd be doing it as a way to enhance, not to just get your anxiety soothed, because the person might actually make it worse. So no, definitely not informed consent in terms of that. And you're allowed to have boundaries and privacy and let someone earn that. You know, I don't think it's something we have to give up right away. All right, so that's our show. We'll be back again on Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to wearechannelq.com. You can get our show podcasted there. Check out old episodes, binge them, catch up on what you missed. Y'all have an awesome weekend. Set some self-care boundaries for yourself and goals. Root yourself in that. Thanks for hanging out with me. And as always, have an awesome, awesome night.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.